In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, my beloved, is the fifth Sunday of the Holy Great Fast. We have two more weeks, and we begin the Paschal week. The Lord, in this passage, it says that He came into Jerusalem. And when the Lord comes into Jerusalem, and when He came anywhere He went, He didn't go to the palaces and the place of royalty or the place of wealth, but He went to the place where the people were sick, the hospital. So He went to this porch, the Solomon's porch, where all the sick people there were waiting to be healed. And this shows us that the Lord came as a physician to seek and to save those which were lost, those who were in need of healing. Just as He said to Zacchaeus at the end of His meeting with Zacchaeus, He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So amidst all these sick people in the pool of Bethesda, the Lord focused on this one man who had been in this condition for 38 years. Perhaps he was the oldest one there, we don't know. But He looked at him and He had pity on him because he was in this condition. And this shows us the heart of God who desires to help the helpless. This is why in our prayers we ask Him, you know, to help those who are helpless. And He's the healing of those who are sick. The Lord asked him then, when He meets him, He asks him a strange question. Do you want to be made well? And this seems to be a very obvious question. All right, why would he not want to be made well if he's sitting there next to the pool? But the Lord, as the physician that he is, he begins to ask him this question because there are some instances where some people do not want to be made well. Why is it that some people wouldn't want to be made well? Well, because their condition could give them a reason to beg. For example, it might be somebody that maybe is sick, and they exaggerate their sickness so that they can be served by other people. This is the same idea. أنا تعبان بس هعمل نفسي إيه تعبان أكتر عشان مراتي تخدمني عشان جوزي يخدمني عيالي تخدمني so I can have this pity from others. For he asked him with this gentle voice, do you want to be made well? Or are you content being sick as you are? Because again, the Lord is not going to heal somebody who does not want to be healed. So he asks him this question, although it seems obvious to us when we read the passage, but it's not that simple. So why else would the Lord ask this question? I think the first was to express His concern and pity for him and his condition. And then the second is to teach him the value of mercy and for him to be attracted to it. Why do I say this? If you pay attention to the end of the passage, the Lord Jesus tells him, when he meets him again, he tells him, he says, see that you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So he makes the connection between his condition and the sin, or some sin that he had committed. And perhaps, you know, it was related to his being merciless at one point. And you'll find oftentimes that the punishment will fit kind of the crime, or the discipline will fit the mistake. For example, Jacob, when he fooled and deceived his father to receive the birthright, what happens to him when he goes to try to marry Rachel? His father-in-law, or future father-in-law, tricks him to marry what? To marry Leah. So the same deception that he used, it was used on him as well. And also his children. They deceived him when they staged the death of Joseph. Right? So the same kind of, it's the maxim that says, you sow what you reap. Or you reap what you sow. Right? You reap what you sow. So perhaps there was some point in his life where he wasn't merciful. So the Lord shows him His mercy so that he learns how to be merciful, so when he goes now, after he's healed, he can learn to be merciful. Perhaps he can assist another man getting into the pool to be healed. So we receive from this passage almost like the Lord coming to heal him, but asking his permission. And once he gets his permission, he is healed. So, in essence, if people are sick, if we are sick in our sin, and we want to be healed, this is half of the work. because the Lord is willing to heal us. But unfortunately, there are some who refuse to be healed on a spiritual level for us. Why is it that some people don't want to be healed? I think number one is their pride. Their pride. Remember the Pharisees? They took pride in their heritage, that they were Abraham's children. Christ had came over and over, he came to them over and over again, proclaiming and showing that he is the Messiah. But because of their pride, they refused him. They said, we have our heritage, we have Abraham, our fathers, we don't need you. Although Abraham and the fathers spoke of him, but when he came, they rejected him. This is why it says, when they were questioned, they said to the Lord, Abraham is our father. So the Lord responded and said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. So he said, if you're Abraham's children, then you do the works of Abraham, who was the father of all the faithful. So it was their pride that kept them from being healed by the Lord when he came to them. If I don't think that I need healing, and I think that I'm okay, maybe I'm like them. Maybe I'm like them. Some people believe that, you know, I don't need any counselor. I can figure things out all on my own. I don't need any help. And this is what the media and the society is pushing. They're pushing us to be our own God. They're trying to teach us to affirm everything and accept everyone. Or accept everything and every idea. We, of course, want to accept everyone and want to show them the truth. But we're not going to agree with sin. We're not going to validate, you know, sinful activity. Right? But this is what they want. Again, this is out of pride. What's the end of this? What will be the end of this if we affirm everything and everyone? The end of this will produce a generation of entitled, proud, self-centered people, which sounds like a recipe for a disaster of a society. The second reason perhaps we refuse to be healed is the attachment to worldly things. You know, in the early church, the disciples and the people, they would come to the apostles and give the apostles all their wages, and the apostles would distribute to everyone evenly. So there was no poor people in the church at that time. But there was a couple whose name were Ananias and Sapphira, who said, you know what, we're going to sell our land, make it seem as if we're giving everything, but keep back some for ourselves. Why? Because they're attached to the money. They're attached. They want to be, okay, if they're going to, you know, distribute to everyone evenly, we want to be a little bit above the person next to us. So we're going to keep some to ourselves. There was something they were holding on to. And as long as we're attached to something in this world, it's difficult when Christ comes to you and says, do you want to be made well? It will be yes, but whatever this thing is. Also, we can, some people refuse to be healed by attachment not only to worldly things, but to sin itself. If you remember, John the Baptist, when he was ministering, Herod, the king, he took his brother's wife while his brother was alive. And this was something that was against the law. So when John came to rebuke him, this didn't rub Herod the right way. Look what it says. He says, for Herod had laid hold of John and bound him to put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude. So rather than healing the voice of God on John the Baptist's mouth and saying, I have the way for you to be healed, he tried to silence him, and ultimately he killed him because he sent them the word of healing. Unfortunately, sometimes when we share the word of healing, people might hate me because of this. But this didn't stop the Lord Jesus. It didn't stop him. He proclaimed his mission despite those who hated him and those who rejected him. Those who reject healing, they will be left to their own sickness. So John rebuked Herod because he refused to repent and be healed. And in return, he wanted to kill him. So sometimes our sin, holding on to a sin, can keep us from being made well. Being made well. And of course, when you think about being made well, it's going, you know, better. Now, typically, if we're sick, for example, it might take us, you know, several weeks, you know, to be fully healed. But being made well is the process of healing to you being, you know, you're being your full health, right? So if there's a sin that I'm attached to, I can't be made fully well as long as this sin is in my life that I'm attached to it and I don't want to repent. I love it and this is just part of my life. It's part of who I am. But if I'm struggling to repent and I confess and I acknowledge it, this we're on the right path, right? So I want to make this distinction. Because we all fall into sin, and even we know that what we're doing is sinful, but I don't like it, I despise it, and I want to improve and get better. Lastly, sometimes people refuse to be healed because of the fear of change. They don't like change. And perhaps because this change will require there be a change in their life, or this repentance, or this being made well, will mean a change in my life. And I don't want to change my life. Maybe I don't want to change my friends. I don't want to change my career. Maybe my career is a stumbling block for me. I don't want to change my online presence. You know, because this will be something that I don't like. So I won't get well as long as these things are in my life. This is exactly what happened with the rich young ruler. When the Lord came and invited him to follow him, the Lord said, okay, you've done these commandments. Okay, now sell what you have, give to the poor, and come and follow me. A very clear invitation for him to be healed, right? But he calculated the cost. This would mean that I would have to give up my money and all that I've worked hard for. And he went away, and it says he went away sorrowful, went away sad. Because he knew this was the remedy for him to get well, but he wasn't willing to change. We can't learn... we need to be able to accept change for the good despite the cost. This is why the Lord taught us. He says, if you sin, if your arm causes you to sin, do what? Cut it off. Of course, not literally, but what does this mean? That means that I will live without one arm. Can people live without an arm? Yeah. Actually, yeah. There are people that live, there's a person that has no arms and no legs. And he still lives, and he functions, and he's happy, and he's sharing the gospel message, right? So yes, it's possible. So the Lord is saying, okay, are we willing just to live maybe in the terms of society a little crippled? Because I don't have a phone, or I don't have access to these social media apps, or I don't, you know, go to these places. We might feel that we're crippled, but we will live. But you know what? That's what we need to be made well. We need that to be made well. So then what can we learn from those who, when asked, do you want to be made well, responded yes? So what can we learn from those who, when asked, do you want to be made well, they responded and said yes to God? First one is David. When David committed sin with Bathsheba and then murdered her husband, he lived this time many days, right, in sin. He didn't pray, he didn't, you know, speak with God. And then ultimately when Nathan the prophet got ear of this, he went to him and he rebuked him. And then finally when he allowed him to convict himself and he says, you're the man, then what did David say? I have sinned against the Lord. Period. That's it. A simple confession. A simple confession. So as if this message from Nathan was saying to him, do you want to be made well because I put my finger on your sin? And he responded and said, I've sinned against the Lord. Yes, I want to be made well. And he repented and he wrote for us Psalm 50 that we all pray every day in the Igbeya. The same with the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman had 5 husbands and the one she had was not her husband. She went to the well, met the Lord, wanted this living water. But before she can partake of the living water of the Lord, he told her one thing. He put his hand on the wound to heal it. And he said, go call your husband. And what did she say? A simple confession. I have no husband. And then he took this, and he ran, and she ran, and she never turned back again. She became Saint Fotini, that's in our tradition, and the traditions of the church as a great saint. So the first thing, those who want to be made well, they have this simple confession. When somebody points out your mistake, and it's a mistake. I've sinned. I apologize. I'm sorry. Taking ownership for my sin is the first way to be healed. I can't deny everything and think that I'm perfect and expect to be made well. Right? You know, it can be very frustrating. Imagine if you went to the physician, and the physician's trying to figure out what's wrong with you, and every time, you know, he asks you something, you tell him something else. Or you lie to him about your symptoms because you don't want him, you know, to palpate somewhere, or to pull your arm, or pull your leg, or something. You lie to him. So it feels like he's chasing, you know, his tail. He can't get anywhere. Unless we agree, unless we say, yes, I have sinned, then we have no healing. The other is the man born blind. And we'll hear this gospel, God willing, next week. And the Lord came and he anointed his eyes with the clay. And then he told him what? Go to the pool and wash. So what happened? He went to the pool and washed. And after he washed, he received his eyesight. Right? So he did his part. He couldn't have said, well, if you're going to heal me, then why do I have to go wash? Just heal me now. He didn't say that. But he did his part. Okay. The Lord gave me new eyes. I'm going to go to the pool and wash the mud off of my eyes as he said. I'm going to do my part. Right? The same thing with Naaman the Syrian. Right? He was asked, you know, Elisha to come and heal him. Or he wanted to go to Elisha to heal him and his servant. They went, met Elisha. And actually they didn't meet him. They met his disciple. And he knocked on the door. The disciple opened the door and said, Elisha tells you, go to the Jordan, dip 7 times and you'll be healed. And he was offended. He said, what do you mean? I come all this way and he doesn't even have the decency to come down and tell me, you know, see me face to face and pray over me or do something, anoint me with some oil. So he got upset. And then his servant said to him, you know, if he told you to do something difficult or pay a big fee, you would do it. He told you to do something simple, just do it. So thankfully he listened to his servant and he did his part. He went to the River Jordan, dipped 7 times and he was healed. So the second way, and these two individuals, when they were invited by God and asked, do you want to be made well? They responded by saying yes, by doing their part. So doing my part in our salvation, in our spiritual practices and life and keeping away from sin as much as we can, all of these things, this is my part. This is part of my healing. Again, he's not going to heal anybody who does not want to heal himself or herself. Lastly, we see back to the story of David. This time when he and his men were fighting and they were very tired, they wanted food. So they found this man who was very wealthy named Nabal, and they helped him protect his sheep and so on. So when the time of harvest or shearing has come, they asked him for some food for him and his men, as, you know, a favor or saying thank you for protecting his sheep and so on while they're in the wilderness. So Nabal answered very harshly. He offended David. Then David was filled with wrath and was going to kill Nabal. Right? Then Nabal's wife, Abigail, got whims of this. And in all her utter humility, she took all the gifts and food and went to David and spoke with him and called him my Lord and all of these things. Look what she says to him. She says, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant. It wasn't her. It was her husband, right? But she said, this was my sin. Forgive me. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. He will make David an enduring house because he will be king. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout all your days. So she gently told him, you have everything, you're the king, here are the gifts. My husband is like a scumbag, so don't worry about him. But you're the anointed of the Lord, and, you know, you will prosper. And she said to him, that there should be no evil found in you all your days. So she gently told him, don't let this be held against you all of your days. And he heeded her. She was God's voice to him, saying to him, do you want to be made well from your anger? And he responded and said, yes. God sends us, my beloved people in our life, to ask us, do you want to be made well? And we refuse. We'd rather be angry and upset and wrathful at people than have peace and joy and happiness. And there are people who invite us. Do you want to be made well? And we refuse over and over and over again. The question of do you want to be made well is not a simple question. Perhaps it seems obvious to this man who is at the pool of Bethesda, but it's not a simple one. And if you think about this man who was there for 38 years, he didn't leave. He didn't leave. Like all the days that he was there, he still had hope that one day he will be healed. Somebody will have compassion on him. So he didn't give up. So perhaps I answered in my past, I don't want to be made well. But maybe today I say, you know what, God, I want to be made well today. We'd never lose hope. Even if it's not today, it might be tomorrow. But never lose hope. This man was there for 38 years, hoping for the time of his healing, hoping to be made well. And perhaps this is why this what earned him the pity of the Lord. He endured and was hopeful for 38 years. Let us never cease, my beloved brethren, to be made well by the physician who desires to heal all of us. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.